The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Friday in the octave of Easter. This is Father Stephen Reynolds, the pastor of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Houston, Texas. Throughout the Easter season, the first reading of the Mass is typically taken from the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, Acts gives an account of the spread of the Christian faith from Pentecost to the time of St. Paul's journey to Rome. Just from a human perspective, it's a fascinating account. We hear some of the details about how the apostles preached the gospel and introduced Jesus, who had risen from the dead, to those who had never met him or heard of him during his time on earth. Acts describes some of the journeys of the apostles, but especially those of St. Paul. Most Bibles, in fact, have a few maps at the end of the New Testament showing Paul's various missionary journeys and the vast territory he covered, largely on foot. Even more impressive is the transformation of the apostles. The Acts of the Apostles testifies to the changes in the faith and daring of the apostles in the time after the resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Following the crucifixion, the apostles were living in fear, almost all of them abandoning Jesus at the most crucial moment. But their experience of the risen Lord, their reconciliation with him, made manifest in Peter's threefold declaration of love. And having received the Holy Spirit and all of his gifts, the apostles are not just changed, but transformed. They are made into bold proclaimers of the Word of God and workers of miracles. Today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, illustrates this. The reading relates how Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin to be questioned about their preaching of the gospel and the curing of a crippled man. "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Can you imagine Peter having spoken like this just a few days before? He always had an impetuous personality, but that has now been tempered and directed to a higher purpose, and Peter's boldness is now fortified and redirected by the Holy Spirit so as to be an effective instrument in the proclamation of the gospel. We can't help but to notice the attitude of suspicion of the Jewish leadership. Despite having worked a miracle of healing and showing themselves able to interpret the word of God with eloquence and conviction, the Jewish priests, elders, and scribes are unable or unwilling to see beyond their own opinions and to marvel in the grace that God is pouring out upon the chosen people through Peter and through John. That kind of cynicism has no place in the Christian mind or heart. Instead, we want to be receptive to the graces of the Holy Spirit, as were Peter and the other apostles, so that our apostolic potential might be unlocked, might flourish, and might bear fruit. God bless you.